Chapter 3. The Guide. He wandered for some time through the wood, strangled rays of dusty light breaking up the darkness soon gone, as if the trees bent to seal it from their world. His shoulder throbbed with the beating of his heart, bringing nausea with each pulse. He wondered about that. He had the idea that an able-bodied man would be hard-pressed to survive that place for any length of time, let alone a one-armed man. He wondered, had he traveled the entire length of one world, survived battle after battle, killed a god, journeyed to a new world and lived among the peoples he'd found there, a tribe of giants, only to die in this place? To have fallen down a hill because he saw a wolf, or thought he saw a wolf, and wound himself so that the true creatures of this place could end him? He thought of that enormous track. Then he cast about the forest floor until he found a felled branch. It was as twisted as anything else there, but seemed as though it would support his weight, and he felt better to have it. He imagined using it to fend off the maker of that track and snorted. He hung his head, shook it, and muttered, "Well, I feel better about myself, having at least fought before the bastard guts out my entrails." For a moment, Udo thought of finding a fat trunk with high roots, something he could settle down into and just die. The darkness of that place stopped him from doing so. He wanted to feel warmth again. He wanted to feel the light on his skin. He wanted to close his eyes and see the redness of their god beyond the lids. He leaned into the branch and continued on. He listened carefully for bestial sounds, but detected only those which issued from his lips. I don't know how long he continued in this fashion. Time swells to be meaningless when I am the ship, and when I come back, it is a struggle to recall its principle. But I am certain he smelled the wood smoke on the same day. Udo did not spend a night in that place with his wounded arm. It came faintly. He thought it was only a memory at first and prepared to curse his own humorless mind. But the smell grew as he walked on. Soon he had to admit there was indeed a fire somewhere, and shortly after that he was sure he saw the low orange glow far ahead. Somewhere out there, between 300 meters, he saw gnarled tree trunks in soft orange light, whereas all else were gray or blue or black. He made for this, not caring who might have kindled it. He knew only that there would be warmth. Perhaps it would keep the other creatures away. Soon enough, he could see the smoke as well as smell it. Then, rounding the trunk of a great dead oak, he saw the fire and the man who had built it. He sat upon a large stone at the fireside, the entirety of his person hidden beneath a sea of robes so deeply blue Udo nearly mistook them for black. The hood was up over the man's head so that only the tip of his nose was visible in the firelight.
Hello. Beg pardon, sir.
There you are, Udo. I was beginning to worry.
The voice was at once familiar and strange. He was certain he'd heard it before, but could not say when or where. Udo stared at the man for a moment, unsure what to say. Then the man gestured across the fire and said,
"You're cold. Please warm yourself here."
The robes he wore were so voluminous that Udo saw only his fingertips when he held out his arm. Udo braced against the branch he held and looked about as if a joke were being played at his expense. There was only the gray-blue haze of a sleeping land surrounding them. Still, he hesitated.
"Have you seen any animals out here?"
"Am I not speaking to one right now?"
"No, the four-legged kind."
The head nodded.
"They will not bother us here."
"Who are you, sir?" Udo asked. "I'm sure I've heard your voice before, and besides that, you're not a giant. I have seen only giants in this land."
"You were about to say something else."
Oh? You were going to say you have seen only giants in this world.
Udo said nothing in response. He was unsure of whether he liked this new person. The robed man sat quietly and did not move. Finally, Udo sighed and lowered himself directly to the leaf-littered dirt at the fire's edge. He depended much upon his branch on the way down, slow-moving like an old man. He realized there was much more wrong with his body than just his arm. He felt as if he'd been run over by a horse team.
"I tumbled down the hill," he reminded himself. "Shoulder or not, you're getting too old for acrobatics."
"You're hurt."
"Yeah," Udo grunted. "One of those animals you said won't bother us? It was bothering me."
"I said they would not bother us here."
Had that been a smile within the shadows of his hood? Udo could not tell. He watched the man a while, nose glowing orange in the firelight. He seemed to Udo as still as mountain stone. Finally, he gave in to curiosity and said,
"So, you know my name?"
The head lifted slightly so that he could see the mouth and chin. He felt a stirring within at the sight.
"There are many here who now know your name."
Udo disliked the thought of that and abandoned his next question. Instead, he asked,
"And how are you called? I can't simply call you man. It's impolite, us sharing a fire and all."
Without hesitation, the man tossed back his hood to reveal the face of Geffen, Udo's old friend.
"Hello, Udo,"
he smiled.
"Geffen! Sure."
Udo was on his feet again, though he did not remember standing. His branch lay abandoned on the ground. He nearly capered around the fire when he said,
"You shifty, shady son of a bitch! On your feet and... ah!"
In his excitement, he'd reached toward his friend with both arms and his shoulders screamed a rebuke. Geffen watched him silently, perhaps amused. He pointed to Udo's arm with his chin and one eyebrow raised in question.
"Had a fight with a tree," Udo half shrugged.
"A tree seems to have won."
"Well, it was a big goddamn tree, Geffen."
Now Geffen stood, no more than a head balanced on heavy robes as dark as the Mittlera under Zintgund's light.
"There's no sea here, Geffen,"
Udo thought absently.
"Did you know? They have only lakes and rivers. Why do you think that is?"
It was on the tip of his tongue to ask, but he did not. Geffen wouldn't know a thing like that anyway. Or would he?
"How long have you been here?"
Udo asked.
"Since this morning. We need to address that arm, Udo. You will need both of them."
He glanced at his shoulder and shuddered.
"Yeah, I think it's out."
"It is certainly out. I can tell just looking at it. Here, stand with your back against that tree."
Udo glanced at the trunk to which he'd been directed, but did not go there.
"You're a barber now, eh?
Out here, we are what we need to be. That must be fixed, Udo. You are going to have serious problems otherwise."
Udo sighed.
"Yeah, fuck. Go on."
He stood as he'd been instructed. Geffen approached, seeming almost to float over the ground, looking at the shoulder rather than Udo. He stared at the mangled joint intently for perhaps the space of 5 breaths, then met Udo's gaze.
"This will hurt." "Oh, no shit."
Geffen braced a forearm across Udo's chest. With his free hand, he untied the thongs, gently eased the wounded arm from the shirt, and held the wrist lightly encircled within his thumb and first 2 fingers.
"We will go on 3. Brace yourself."
Udo nodded, took a deep breath, and began,
1.
It felt as though Geffen slammed bodily into him. There was a flash, a frozen instant in time, in which he felt his shoulder collapse before it locked up into position. He heard the crunch inside of his skull and was convinced he'd been hit with such force that the shoulder had simply exploded beneath his skin. His eyes came alive in a shower of white sparks, erasing the forest around him in a light of supreme pain. Then he realized he was again sitting in the dirt. He was slumped backward into the tree, not knowing how he got there, and realized the pain of his shoulder was gone. He flexed it, amazed. No, the pain was still there. It was just so quiet now, easy for him to misplace. Geffen had returned to the stone by the fire. He gazed into the flames as if the world around him was forgotten.
"I thought you were going on three," Udo panted.
He was surprised to discover he was out of breath.
"I did. I never said I would count so you could hear."
"Of course," Udo nodded.
Geffen gestured to the fire and said, "Please." Patting the ground lightly, Udo said,
"A moment. Just let me sit a moment, make sure I didn't shit myself."
"Very well. Favor that shoulder when you come, though. It will be some time before its full strength is restored."
"I've seen injuries such as this before," Udo said. "Some never recovered fully."
Geffen nodded.
"In those cases, the internal structures may have been so severely damaged that full recovery was not possible. I do not suspect this is the case with you."
"All right."
He looked at the fire a while and decided he was not quite ready to move.
"Geffen, how have you come here?" he asked.
"I walked."
"You know what I mean."
"I know what you said, certainly."
"This is not Erda."
Slight smile hidden at the corner of his mouth when he said,
"I had not noticed."
"You died."
"I did?"
"A god said you did."
Now he looked at Udo.
"Really?"
"Well, said it more or less."
Geffen nodded. Then he looked to the tree boughs as though crafting rather than remembering the answer.
"I was unsure what we would do, even when he killed the king. I cannot speak for the rest of the company, but I was shocked still. I think if Gerald had stayed his hand, we probably would have helped to subdue the giant. We would have tried, I should say. I am not sure he is a creature that can be subdued, not by women nor men. But when Gerald drew his sword, and when his men followed him, I think the rest of us fell in behind the giant out of habit. There was a comfort to it, of returning to a thing you knew. We had been fighting alongside of him for so long that doing it yet again felt natural. The king was gone anyway. And by the by, had not he, the King Dithmar, usurped his very throne as well? Who was Gerald to command anyone after Dithmar expired? We had never fought beside him. So we fell to violence, as men so often do. I fought well, for a while. Then there was nothing, only darkness. For a moment I thought it was to be my eternity. I thought all the stories the priests had given us were lies, and there was only the void. But then there came a voice, Udo. A simple, sexless voice." "What did it say?"
Geffen smiled. Then his face smoothed, and he said,
"I have walked through Hell's cavern and stood at the feet of On. Seeing these wonders, I have returned and found you." "On," Udo muttered. "I've heard that name. Where have I heard that name?"
"You would say Godon, but they are one and the same."
Udo looked at his friend, his eyes narrowed, and Geffen nodded. He said,
"All gods are many named."
Udo rose carefully, sure to lean upon his left arm and return to the fire. There was a goodish log nearby. He rolled it over with his foot and sat upon it.
"You haven't returned," he said. "This isn't Erda."
Geffen said nothing. You mean you returned for me? Still he was silent.
What is it you want of me, Geffen?
The brawler, covered in scars Udo well recognized, cocked his head and asked,
What were you running from, Udo?
Nothing, he said.
He'd responded too quickly and he knew it.
You've never run toward anything in your life. That's not true. I've run toward solitude.
The distinction hardly matters, but is that what you were doing now? Running toward solitude? Udo looked into the flames a while and thought. Geffen allowed him the time he seemed to need. Finally he said,
I'm tired, Geffen. I'm tired of people and all of the things that come with them, the troubles they bring. I don't hate them, not anymore, but they make me tired.
But you are loved here, Udo. The peoples of this world, Talam, they love you, do they not?
A portion of them, a goodly portion. The love is tiring too, he sighed. It comes with weight. It's chained in expectation, and I don't desire it.
Don't you?
No.
Geffen nodded.
Well, I am sorry to tell you this, Udo, but there is no place in the world of man or giant that will bring you this peace. You must travel beyond to find it.
The digger snorted when he said,
And you know how to get there, of course.
I have seen it. You must walk through hell to get there, but it is within our power to go.
Meaning I have to die.
No,
Geffen laughed.
I have certain knowledge. I know certain words and certain passages. I will take you to this place in body.
Udo was suddenly afraid. He did not like the look in his friend's eyes.
Do you not believe me? Geffen asked.
No, it isn't that. I'm afraid I do.
So?
He thought about it.
I never gave hell much thought. I guess I always assumed I'd end up there, but it seemed always like a distant idea. Even after speaking with gods and seeing their wonders, I don't know that I believed in it. You're telling me it's a real place?
Oh, it is very real.
What will I find there?
Geffen looked all about the surrounding forest and said, Rebirth and new life.
Rebirth. I will take you to our mother.
Udo's spine went rigid when he gasped,
Ing?
She's waiting for you.
Our mother?
Geffen shrugged and said, She is the mother of all. When Udo hesitated, Geffen pressed by saying,
Do you not remember, when you stood on the precipice of two worlds, she called to you. She told you to seek her on the God path. You have not yet found her, and she still waits.
He heard her voice again, clearer now in that wood than it had ever been in memory.
Come to me, Udo.
He stood from the log and through a dry throat croaked,
Take me.